Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We going bonkers, yeah, we true to the game. B-U-C-K, yeah, you know the name.
We are the future, but we here right now in the flesh. Giannis, Middleton, Brogdon, need I say less. Whether you like us or not, you gon' show us our respect. No matter our seed in the playoff, the world know we got next. This is Milwaukee, the county you bring puffs and great beer. Tell the league we never scared. Y'all know our slogan. Did a deal. Bump us all on the beach.
Chuck and Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is our friend Just Chris. That was Shaq before in the crowd at Fiserv Forum, where TNT was broadcasting pregame and postgame, and Shaq in the crowd chanting Milwaukee with a bunch of people hanging out after that game. It was a great scene on TV. I think it was a great scene nationally for people to see Milwaukee. And the best scene of all, Chuck, was the 108-100 victory over the Toronto Raptors. Game one goes to Milwaukee, although this one was not easy.
Sure was not their best game, but still found a way to get the job done. You know, like so many times this year where they look like, you know, they got on the wrong side of the bed playing poorly, woke up in the fourth quarter and turned on the afterburners. And before you know it, Bucks got an 8-point win. How did they win by 8 points? How were they only down by 6 points in the second half? At one point, they had missed 34 of 43 pointers. And yeah, look at the scoreboard. They're only down by six. How does that happen? And, you know, they ended up winning by eight. You know, Giannis didn't play his best game. You know, so many areas they didn't do great.
24 and 14, but.
Yeah, I know. It's like.
I'm with you.
Isn't that a quiet 24 and 14? You look at the stat sheet. It's a 24 and 14. How? And even Giannis even admitted, yeah, you know, I didn't have my best game last night. But so many other guys, like, I mean, Splash Mountain was great. And you know, he was terrific. And the bottom line, or as Giannis would say, at the end of the day, the Bucks 108-100 winners.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez last night with 29 points, 11 boards. I watched the game live. I watched the game after the game. I got up bright and early, watched the game again. I'm watching the game right now. I still don't understand how Brooke Lopez had 29 points. I'm floored by it. Because watching that game, I mean, he was bricking shots. He was bricking threes. The whistle was not kind to Brooke either. He's getting called for real ticky-tack stuff. Mm-hmm. And when he was in the paint, he's not getting any calls to go his way. He had a huge fourth quarter. I mean, he made some shots to make that deficit go away very quickly. But Brooke Lopez was not having a good night. 4 of 11 from threes. But the fourth quarter, I think, even going into the fourth quarter, he had like 20 points or something. I thought, how in the hell? What am I watching?
Got off to a little slow start. He came alive a little bit in the second quarter, but it was, I just thought, you know.
But he was Brick City, and he was missing bad.
He had a couple of layups.
He was missing threes bad. Brogdon missed some really bad threes. Yeah. I mean, they had some clunkers from distance, and it looked like, as we talked about in game one with the Celtics, that shooting would be the story. The Raptors were all over the Bucks. When the Bucks give you the opportunity to shoot threes, as they will, you have to make them. And the Raptors were making them. Kyle Lowry made 7 of them. Kyle Lowry had 30 points. Kyle Lowry's not that good. Or he hasn't been for the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs. But he came out last night, had an incredible night. Kawhi had his 31. But the Bucks, you know, you watch that game, and Toronto was in control for most of it, and it was very frustrating. It was frustrating because in the first quarter, you see Toronto take a lead. You think, all right, well, we saw this. The Bucks will get it going. Second quarter, okay, well, we know the Bucks can get it going. Third quarter, all right, the Bucks won the quarter by a point, still down. All right, we know they can get it going. And they finally got it going in the fourth quarter where they outscored the Raptors 32-17. And this was a game, Chuck, where it got a little nerve-wracking, especially for those of us that may have thought the Bucks could sweep the series.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if all of us got a little too overconfident yesterday. And, you know, even the fans, they were a little late getting in their seats for the game last night. And I'm wondering if that Deer District had something to do with it. But people were still out there. And, you know, there was such an emphasis on the party last night, I felt like, outside, that it carried over into the arena a little bit. And, you know, I mean, the Bucks game's turning into a party, more or less so than the game itself, because there were so many people. And it was wonderful that the Deer District was hopping last night. It was great. I strolled through there before on my way to the ballpark last night, on my way to the arena. And, yes, awesome. That's why it was built, for those nice nights like last night in the playoffs. But I'm wondering if fans got a little bit too much caught up in that and, you know, maybe a little late getting in the ballpark, getting inside the arena. And, you know, but just for what we're all there for is basketball, most importantly.
There's Shaq in the Deer District afterwards, hanging out with the fans.
The Barkley sucks.
And then turning on Barkley.
Which is the Barkley sucks thing, a little historical on that. When Barkley played with the Sixers, when the Bucks had their little deal, but rival with the Sixers, Barkley, he was the enemy number one on that Sixer team. And, you know, the fans hated him, and, you know, he people hated, you know, the way he played. There was, every time he touched the ball, he would get booed. So, and the fans would have the Barkley sucks throughout the old Milwaukee Mecca. But so that's where that one started from, the old Barkley sucks.
I actually think that last night was an isolated just Shaq trying to tear down Barkley.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's where the Barkley sucks was from, the chant from the 80s when he played here. I mean, that whole arena would just, Barkley sucks. They would let him have it. And I mean, I didn't see any of the TNT show last night, but it was pretty cool if they're right there in the Deer District doing their show. I think that's a great show, too. Yeah, I've told you that before. That TNT basketball show is good as it gets.
Well, it was a great show, and I think it was good. It was a good look for Milwaukee, both pre and post. And, yeah, even though the remnants of the Bradley Center were there in every shot, it was good to see Milwaukee just get after it last night. I mean, just to have that sort of, you know, the Bucks haven't had something like this where you've been the focal point in a good way nationally ever.
Sure.
I mean, at least in a long time, at least in 20 years.
But I'm wondering if that party atmosphere got in a little way of fandom last night. I'm telling you, it was in their first couple minutes of the game, and you saw these, you saw the seats with the shirts on there yet, and empty seats.
Well, nobody's been putting their shirt on. I'm not doing crowd.
No. I'm just saying.
Patrol today.
No. I mean, you don't have to, but I'm just telling you, and I don't like to go down that road either. You know, you can take it any way you want, but I'm telling you, I just think it was. I just noticed that they're a late arriving crowd to Bucks games. It is, and I think the Deer District has something to do with it. People are out there having a good time and all that, and which is fine. It's just they're a little late getting their seats sometimes. They're not in there for opening tip off.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. It sounds like you think the Deer District is a hindrance to Bucks games.
No. I it almost becomes like it's almost too much of a party atmosphere.
It should be a party. You're in the GD Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, but you also should be in there backing your team for tip-off, shouldn't you? You're the one who said a couple of weeks ago that you know the crowd wasn't up and going from the opening tip. And, you know, I just noticed last night there weren't a hell of a lot of people in their seats. And I don't think anybody could dispute me on that. I'd be surprised.
I mean, I'm just happy I'm in my seat. I partied last night. I'm excited. I partied last night again.
At home?
At a bar close to my house.
All right.
Parents in town.
Yeah, I thought it was
hung out with my bro.
I mean, it was great. It was great overall. I mean, once they got in their seats, it was the atmosphere. And, you know, the Bucks didn't play.
Captain was flowing.
Bucks did not play great, but still. You don't play great, you still beat the Raptors by 8 points. That's the bottom line. So, they won the game and hopefully take care of game two tomorrow night.
414-799-1250. We'll start with the Raptors fan. So we've gotten to know Vincent out in Anaheim, who is a fan of every team in every sport outside of the Bucks, Brewers, and Packers. But he likes the way we cover the teams, so he listens to the station. Vinny!
Hey, Vinny.
What happened to your Raptors last night?
Hey, I gotta tell you what's up, man. I tell you what happened, man. Marc Gasol and Danny Green didn't step up, man. You know, they played about like 40 minutes almost, if you round it up. 6 points out of both of them. I mean, you know, 6 points each.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable, man. Unacceptable. If they both got four extra points, just to average 10 points, it would have been a tie game, you know what I mean? But we get out of the what-ifs and all that, you know what I mean? The end of the game is, I had a feeling. I listened to the game because I was at work. I didn't listen to the third quarter because I know you guys. I know you Bucks. You guys are a second-half, turn-it-on team if you're behind. So I was like, I ain't going to listen to the third. So I turned it back on the fourth, I was like, we're up a little bit. I was like, this is not enough, man. Every time I was stressing out when I was working, I was getting mad because we needed just to score. When we had the lead, what did the Raptors try to do? Sometimes they're trying to shoot threes when they didn't need to. All they had to do is just continue to keep the lead. And what you Bucks did was when your 3 points weren't going in, you guys went to the paint and you got those buckets, those do-over buckets, you know, the second chance points, man. That's how you dominated my Raptors, man. Everybody on the post-game show, man, I even heard Sparky say you're going to sweep my Raptors. Nah, man. You guys are going to be very disappointed in the end. If everybody performs like they're supposed to, then it's going to be a great series. And, you know, it's just going to come down to costly turnovers or, you know, free throws and all that. But, you know, bittersweet because when you're winning and then when you lose, you get more mad. You know what I mean? I give it up to y'all Bucks, though. That's what good teams do. You never give up and you keep continuing. But cancel out. Kyle Lowry
ain't never playing like that again.
Well, you know, is he the most overpaid $40 million guy in the NBA? He's got the capability of doing that. He just doesn't show it enough. I mean, he was great in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. He does have the capabilities, but he doesn't show up sometimes. Yep. Or, you know, is Brook Lopez going to do that again? Is he going to get 30 points again?
No, that's a good point, too.
Okay, yeah, Lopez isn't going to do that again. But, you know, Giannis did not take over the game at all. I mean, he didn't have to, obviously, Lopez, but I mean, there's going to be a time in this series too where Giannis is going to take over and explode for a 35 or 40 point game.
Exactly. That Kawhi Leonard is going to take over and drop 45.
I didn't take over in the fourth quarter last night though.
No, he didn't, man. But you guys got it done, man. As a Raptors fan, I'm disappointed, but it's going to be a great series. I already made my pick video, man. So I got two bold predictions. I don't know. I mean, Raptors might have to take all the rest of the game to kick you guys out in five, but if not, it's going to go to seven.
I played your YouTube pick video last time we talked to you, and you were swearing on it, and I got in trouble.
No, the second one, no, I didn't swear.
I
thought about you guys.
All right.
A little PG. Okay.
Yeah, I got in trouble on that one.
All right, Vincent.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Hey, keep your heads up, but we'll see what happens. Raptors.
Keep your heads up after an eight-point victory. You bet, Vincent. Will do. Vincent, Anaheim.
We'll try to feel good about it. Team played not great in a couple of areas, but in the fourth quarter, how about Toronto? 0-15 from the 3-point line? 0-7 3-point line, except for Lowry, who was the only one who hit threes. Kawhi Leonard, 2 fourth quarter points. There you go, scoreless in the final 3.5 minutes. They were throwing up bombs and they weren't going in. And the Bucks were hitting the free throws, and they surged right by. The Raptors had a 2-point lead with about 3.5 minutes left, Bart, and they couldn't hit a basket after that.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries here on The Fan. Our Best Bucks coverage brought to you in part by Hupie and Abraham. Injured? Call Hupie and Abraham. Voted best, rated best year after year. Visit Hupie.com today. That's Chuck. I'm Bart. 799-1250. Bucks take game one. Looking pretty, if you can win that way, it's looking pretty good the rest of the series. At least that's what we're thinking. How about you guys? 799-1250 on The Fan.
Siakam have the last 38 points for Toronto. Here is Leonard. His shot is blocked by Lopez.
Lopez has been everywhere at both ends of the floor tonight.
Bucks have a 1-point lead. 2 minutes to play. Fourth quarter. Lopez for three. Yes! He has been on fire in every phase of the game. 29 points. 13 here in the fourth.
The call on TNT last night, Brook Lopez with a big night. Huge fourth quarter. Lopez on the night, 29 points, 11 boards, and the Bucks get the 108-100 victory. They are up one game to nothing over the Toronto Raptors. A couple of tweets coming in here from Vic Mitchum. He says, I'm just going to assume Milwaukee isn't good the game after a long break. They ended up winning anyways, and now they're warmed up. Repeat of the Celtics series, perhaps. Toronto shot lights out, and the Bucks were shooting with the lights off, and we still hung with them. If the Bucks hit half their missed threes last night like they should, it would have been a blowout.
Yeah, there's something to say about that. But, I mean, Lopez, although he said, you know, this was different from the Boston game, but I don't know. I mean, but the Celtics came out, and they shot the lights out, and same with Toronto. I mean, they were hitting all their shots. They had 13 first-half threes. 13 first-half threes, just two in the second half. And they cooled off. Those threes began to dry up a little bit. But, man, the Raptors, for mostly three quarters, controlled that game. And then the Bucks outscored them 32-17. And then, obviously, most of that was taking control down the stretch. But how about a rare close playoff game for the Bucks? Here we are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that was the first time, Barth, they played a close game.
Yeah, and they had outscored the Raptors by 15 in the fourth quarter to get that done. And I was nervous. I was nervous throughout the part of the game where I was the most nervous is when it was like 64-63 perhaps, mid-early third quarter. Giannis goes to the line. He's got the chance to take the lead with two free throws. And he was good at the line, 9-12 last night. But those two free throws, one short, and then he misses the next one. And then Toronto, all of a sudden, they're up by 10. And I thought, I don't know if Giannis got nervous there because that would have been their first lead since like 8-6 early on in the game. And I thought, you cannot let these opportunities get away from you. And it seemed like every time the Bucks would even try to come close, the Raptors would have an answer. Thank goodness for that huge fourth quarter. Thank goodness for Brook Lopez, who, again, had 29 points last night. And in watching the game, I was shocked when I looked at the box score mid-third quarter just to see, you know, who was playing how much. Connaughton didn't play as much last night as he has been. And I wanted to see the scoring totals and to see Lopez in the 20s. I don't know, man. Watching that game, I was just shocked that he had that many points.
Yeah, see, no, I to me, I know it felt like it because he, you know, he had a couple of dunks, you know, shots in the lane, you know, the three-pointers. You know, he didn't start off the game real good.
He was bricking so many threes.
He was. And what happens
in horrendous fashion.
With him, unlike anybody else, when he misses a three, it usually leads to a long rebound because he puts such arc, you know, he splash mountain. I mean, he's launching those things, those missiles up there. He's launching them. When they go off the back iron, man, they come flying out there. But, you know, back to what you said about Giannis. Yeah, they had a chance to take the lead with Giannis. And after he misses that second one, Lowry gets an easy layup on the other end. Bledsoe's a little late getting back. And then, you know, Toronto reestablishes a 10-point lead before you know it. And you're thinking, man, I felt like they were just grinding all night. They had a couple of chances to take leads in the game. There was one other opportunity in that game as well where they could not get a basket to take a lead. And the Raptors would maintain that lead. They'd kick it up to 4-6-7. You know, they hit that. They hit a shot to make it a 7-point game, I think, right before the half. And I was like, man, is this just not the Bucks' night? But, you know, I mean, I feel good that fact that, you know, many guys, including the bench, you know, there were a couple of guys off the bench. You know, George Hill was kind of invisible. George Hill had been so good in the Boston series. George Hill did not score, went 0-6. But, you know, Connaughton, as you mentioned, he was kind of a quiet, didn't play as many minutes as he normally does. But I think Brogdon took some of his minutes last night.
Brogdon had some rough. I mean, he made three threes, so he had a pretty decent night, 15 points. But some of his were off too. There were just so many shots. Bledsoe from beyond the arc wasn't good. Mirotić struggled from beyond the arc too. I mean, at that point, you had mentioned it when they had made just six of what 43 point attempts.
Six of 34 at one point.
It was brutal.
But you know the deal. You got to play this game on both ends of the court. And defensively, they got the Brogdon, and I thought Middleton really good defensively. Lopez as the rim protector. Hey, kept several shots alive with offensive back tips. You know, some of these guys got the job done defensively. Offensively, Bledsoe couldn't hit a shot. I just felt every time he was open an open shot, you know, he'd line up to shoot a three, and boom, 0 for 6 from beyond the arc. But still, all these bad things kept happening for the Bucks. And we're sitting here with an 8-point win.
And we should mention Chris Middleton, the defense on Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Like I said, him and Brogdon both played really well defensively. You know, Middleton had that steal or a lost ball at three-quarters court, and they took it the other way for a fast break layup with Lopez getting the dunk. Yeah, I mean, I think they made up for their offensive inefficiencies with real good half-court defense.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. John Franklin, what's up, buddy?
Hi, John.
Guys, how about our Milwaukee Bucks representing Milltown so strong? You know, that
is that a little Dukes and water I hear on your voice?
Yeah, dude, it was a little, it got a little rough, you know?
Yeah.
It got a little rough down there in the Deer District extended. And to your point, Chuck, yeah, I mean, we're watching the coverage, and they showed a inside shot of the Fi serve. There was about 14 people, and they were all on the court like 12 minutes before the game, and everybody was outside. So to your point, we'll make sure Friday we're well rested.
Yeah,
we're in that building.
And, you know, I think the Deer District is great, John, but I just thought maybe people were still outside of the Deer District enjoying that awesome atmosphere and not inside the ballpark just yet.
Chuck, I think you're exactly right. Like, I go to these games with my 30-year-old son, and, you know, I'm like, hey, man, let's get going. You know, I don't want to miss tip. And, you know, I think the kids are a little more focused on their buddies and having a good time. It's just a little bit different. But, and Barty, you know, I had to reach out to you because I could see the people panicking a little bit around me. And I'm thinking, oh, man, Bart's probably going off the walls here. And I'm just like, you know what? These guys are hitting every shot. We're missing every shot that, you know, the game. It started to look a little bit like the Boston game a couple Sundays ago. And then, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, we have seen this before. How many times have we seen this before? And the Bucks, you know, they get in these streaks where they're all missing threes. It's like nobody can hit one. And then, and so it's like, okay, it's time to change it up a little bit. It's time to get some mid-range shots, get to the hole a little bit. We can come back to the three-point thing. And sure, you know, and Giannis put it together, man. I know he didn't have a super strong game, but I'll tell you what, in that fourth quarter, he was the one guy down there battling for boards, that one where he got the jump ball, man. He was just tenacious. He was not going to be denied. He is a leader of this team. And, Bart, to your point, too, yeah, I was shocked that Lopez had 29 points. It was kind of a, you know, outside of the fourth quarter, it was kind of silent. But he did have a lot of stuff around the rim, a lot of cleanup stuff. I think this is going to be a really good series, but I'm still looking for the Bucks in five.
Yeah, I think the Raptors are going to have a few more moments, but if the Bucks hit them with another victory on another hand to Raptors another loss on Friday night, man, it's going to be very difficult for them to come back from an 0-2 deficit. But taking game one was so big. But how deflating it's got to be for the Raptors. You come out there, and you're controlling the game for the most part, or the night part. You're winning that game, and you look at the other side, and you know they're not shooting very well. Giannis isn't playing great, and you still lost by 8 points. That's got to be deflating to the Raptors.
John, thanks for the call. June's on Twitter says, that was probably the best Bucks game I've ever been to. Just above 24-1 when they beat Golden State in the regular season. Just before Game 4 of the Bulls series a couple years ago, and just before Game 3 of that Toronto series a couple years ago, because you had a game where the Bucks were struggling to get over that hump. And yeah, that's got to be deflating for Toronto. When we win that way, you try to think of it, well, what if we lost that way? Yeah. What if you were in Toronto in Game 1, in control,
yeah,
basically, of the game, and then in the fourth quarter you kind of let it slip away, and Brooke Lopez, of all guys, is the one to take over and take the national spotlight last night. Quick fact on Brooke Lopez, Chuck. I just want to read his stat line, if I may, for you here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Brooke Lopez, 25 points, 10 of 35 shooting. That was Brooke Lopez. Oh, wait. That was Brooke Lopez in the entirety of the five games against the Celtics. 27 points, 10 of 35. Last night, 29 points, 12 of 21. He was better last night than he was total in that whole series against Boston.
Yeah, it's funny. The first quarter, he didn't come out very well, and I put on Twitter, boy, Lopez needs to reinsert himself back into the postseason here, back into the playoffs, and he did. He came alive, and after a sluggish start, because it's like, man, what's happened to Brooke Lopez? And he did, Cam. He did bounce back, and those numbers, exactly, yeah. But, you know, several guys did not play well, but he was one of the guys who did play well, and a 108-100 victory. I mean, it's just it's great to see. You know what? And you said a little while ago, you know, we said this about Toronto. How do you feel for Toronto? You played that type of game, and you still lost by 8 points. We've been there with our teams before. We've been there. It's good to be on the other end of that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Isn't it good to be on the other end?
One crazy night downtown with the TNT crew,
yeah,
and I'm forgetting every misery and pain of the last 20 years.
But isn't it great to be on that end, though, where you didn't play great and you still won a playoff game? Where, hey, there's been times when the Bucks and our sports teams have played great on the road in a playoff game, only to have guys on the other team, a Brooke Lopez, you know, a nobody. I don't want to say Brooke Lopez is a nobody, but he's not the star of this team. Come out and lead the team in scoring. I mean, we went to that game last night. Nobody would have guessed Lopez would have been the team leading scorer with 29 points.
I still don't believe it. I mean, I watched the game again today. I won't believe it. I won't believe it. Big night for Brooke Lopez. 414-799-1250. That's Chuck. I'm Bart. Bucks take game one, and it looks like if they can win that way, maybe this will be a quick series. Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Honestly, we're frustrated at each other if we don't shoot it when we're open. You know, if we have a good shot, we got to take it. And, you know, a lot in the first half, they weren't going down. You know, it wasn't our best shooting night, but when they're there, we still have to take them, and that's how I feel about each one of us when we're shooting the ball.
Even when you're 6-for-34, the mantra for the Bucks is keep shooting. Let it fly. And the Bucks did that en route to a 108-100 victory over Toronto. It's got to feel, I mean, the way that the Bucks played to still win by eight. This was the first time, remember, that Giannis is facing the Toronto scheme, so he busted through against the Celtics. You'll see better Giannis against the Raptors in this series. It feels like, I mean, it's just one game. Again, we talk about this a lot, these seven-game series, there are ups, there are downs. But with how maybe poorly the Bucks shot for a while and how well the Bucks looked in the fourth quarter, it almost feels backbreaking for Toronto.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, because they had, you know, they kind of quieted Giannis for the most part last night. He still got his numbers, 24-14, but he didn't explode on him. But a couple of other guys did. And, you know, Middleton wasn't great offensively, did the job on the defensive side with Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you had your two stars, though, Leonard overall 31, Lowry 30, and you still couldn't win the game. And you pretty much were in charge of that game for three and a half quarters and couldn't finish them off. And the Bucks win it by 8 points. It wasn't like a buzzer beater. They won by 8 points. They pulled away late. The Raptors couldn't score in the final 3.5 minutes. But so, I mean, in one sense, you don't feel good about the performance last night. But on the other hand, you look and you say, hey, man, I do feel good because, you know, they didn't play their best and still won the game.
Yeah, you feel good because they won.
Yeah.
You feel good because Kyle Lowry had a career night. And you won. 799-1250. Artie's in Cudahy. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Artie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Feeling real good.
Good. Hey, a couple of quick things off the top of my head. I have to mention this one. Like, I just think it's hilarious that the Lakers have just hired Jason Kidd. Like, how do they interview him and ask him the questions, like, knowing that he came from the Bucks? Like, I find it hilarious. Second point, I want your guys' opinion on Bledsoe. Like, I mean, obviously, no one has, I think, I mean, Giannis, you could say, but really has enhanced their game from our new coach. Bledsoe sometimes still scares me. I'm not sure if he's a point guard that's going to get us to win a final because I feel like he's a little bit reckless sometimes. And last thing, when it comes to Brook Lopez going off, and we got lucky that he went off from the Raptors. Kyle Lowry's an all-star, and he does not perform like that. We don't need Lopez to play like that, but they need Lowry to play like that, and I don't think he'll replicate that again and again, like he says.
Yeah, I hear what you say. Bledsoe, he came out in the first quarter. He took a shot from the left wing on a pull-up, and it just was way off. Sometimes his shot, you know, it looks like it's just not there. He needs to be in some rhythm, and didn't have his rhythm last night. But no, that's fine. I mean, he didn't. That's why there's so many other guys. I thought Ersan gave him some good minutes, too, last night, Bart.
Bledsoe, 3 of 12 last night, 0 for 6. From beyond the arc. And again, a lot of these threes were bad.
I mean,
they looked like they weren't even close from a lot of guys on the team, even Lopez, who ended up having a big night. The Bledsoe thing's interesting because you do need him to win that matchup, I think, against Kyle Lowry. I looked at, when you look at the matchups, if you want to look at Giannis versus Kawhi, if you want to look at Siakam versus Middleton, in terms of how these guys, what they're like, counter might be on the other team, not who they're going to match up with defensively. But Bledsoe and Lowry, it's the two point guards. You got to win that matchup. And Lowry historically has not played well against Bledsoe. But last night in a game one where Lowry historically is not good either, he certainly won that matchup and Bledsoe looked off. He made a shot or two, but I mean, he for the most part looked off last night. The thing with the Bucks, the way to beat them is to simply outshoot them. The way to beat the Bucks, because they're going to give you open threes. They're going to give you open looks. Lowry had 7 of them last night. And a couple of those other guys made shots too. And then the Bucks were cold. And that happened last night, and the Bucks still won.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Toronto, if you're some Canadian guy who wants to storm into our studio like we had yesterday and talk about how Toronto's going to make mincemeat of the Bucks, you look at that game last night, and you've just got to feel deflated.
Yeah, I mean, look at their bench. They got nothing out of their bench. And not that I expected anything out of their bench, Bart, but their bench didn't give any minutes at all. Norman Powell, first half, it was like he came to play a little bit. I was like, oh, man, this guy's not going to come back and haunt us again, is he? And then, you know, he really wasn't heard from much of the rest of the night. But, yeah, there were so many players who didn't play well. But there were others who did. I thought Brogdon gave him some really good minutes on both ends of the court, Bart. Like I said, I thought Ersan came in. At one point, Ersan came in the fourth quarter with four Giannis, and I'm like, man, that's a tough switch out there with them down by 6 points. I think it was third quarter. And then Ersan came in, and both ends took a charge, played well, hit a baseline jumper. But, you know, that's why this team is in the championship round of the Eastern Conference, because they have so many other guys who could pick you up.
KJ West Dallas.
Mahalo. Bagalulu. Shagaloo.
Scott Farrell, by the way, with Bill. 11 o'clock.
And probably never with us.
And never. Just another guy that doesn't want to talk to us.
Yeah, that's right.
What's up, KJ?
Aloha, my brothers.
Aloha.
Good day to celebrate the Bucks. Hey, I was very surprised at the style of play that the Raptors and Nick Nurse try to play against the Bucks, especially coming off of Game 7. They try to run that fast-paced game, and you're playing right into the Bucks' hands, especially coming off, you know, being off, and they were pretty, you know, they weren't tired like the Raptors were in the second half. You could see they were spent, especially Kawhi Leonard by the fourth quarter. And I really have to commend Middleton for the defensive job he did on Kawhi Leonard in that fourth quarter, as well as Brogdon. And it was a really good sign for me to see how Brogdon hit a couple of those three-pointers in that second half. And him sprinting down the court and slamming that ball, that was amazing. That just told me that he was back. And you could just see it on his face and on the bench that they said, yep, Malcolm Brogdon is back. You know, and he looks healthy. I think he's going to be a huge contributor going forward for the Bucks in this run in the Eastern Conference Finals. One of the things I think Lopez obviously was amazing, and he's going to be a huge key as well. I mean, if he can draw the big guys out of that middle, he's just going to open it up for Bledsoe and Brogdon and Giannis to be able to get in the paint and go to work on those guys.
Yeah, you know, at the top there, you know, you talked about the tempo. You're right. Toronto doesn't want to play, does not want to play back and forth with the Bucks, and I think they're going to try to play a little bit more half-court basketball in game two. You know, they're going to have to do that. They don't, you know, missed shots lead to runouts for the Bucks, and the Raptors don't want to do that at all. They do not want to get a transition game with the Bucks.
799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Bucks beat the Raptors. Game one goes to Milwaukee. Concerns over game two, three, four, five. Are we even going to get that far? It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
We came out not playing well, but it's important to win this first game and really to win these first two games at home to sort of send a message, but also go to Toronto so you can, you know, not have all the pressure on yourself.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bucks win 108-100. You may have been down there. If anybody was at the Lucid Light Lounge, too, I'd like to hear how that went, where Shaq was the DJ. Saw some pictures. Stephen A. Smith was down there. David Bakhtiari and some of the offensive linemen were down there. So
I was standing next to Michael Wilbon for a little bit and at the press conference last night.
Okay, look at you rubbing shoulders.
Well, I mean, Joe and I had a little. We ran into him at Lambeau Field about 6 years ago. Good guy. Ran him in the elevator, and he had to find a. He didn't know how to get back to Austin Straubel Airport, and we kind of walked about to the parking lot, went to an intersection, and he rolled his window down, and I rolled my window down. I said, okay, now go left here, right here, and you're not going to have any problem. So he kind of followed us out, and, yeah, I didn't have a chance to go up to him last night. But, yeah, he was a good guy, too. But I saw, yeah, Stephen A. Smith. Is he doing his show from here?
He's been traveling all over the country.
He was
at the draft lottery, I think. He was at the Oracle for game one. He's been all over the place. Stephen A. Smith, man, he's got like, he works 20 hours a day.
I know.
And travels 8 hours more on top of it.
Because he does a TV show and he does a radio show too, doesn't he? Thought he does a radio show in New York.
Yeah, and he guest on every single show that ESPN has. So, but last night he was relaxing at the Lucid Light Lounge or whatever that
was
called. I'm not cool enough to.
Okay. Where's there? Is that in the third ward?
Third ward, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I saw David Bakhtiari was there, some of the offensive linemen. It seemed like the place to be. So if anybody was cool enough to get, I was looking at the tag on Instagram because you can see who posts pictures from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like famous guys or smoking hot chicks. And well, there ain't no way I'm getting in that building.
Somebody from. One of the band members from Pearl Jam was at the Bucks game last night. Is there some sort of Milwaukee? Because he had a Bucks shirt on. Is there some sort of Milwaukee connection with that guy? And I don't know his name.
I don't know. I figured that they were all Chicago fans because Eddie Vedder, the lead singer, is such a Chicago guy.
Yeah, he's always at Cubs games.
So it was nice to see. Who was the biggest celebrity you saw last night?
Biggest celebrity?
Was Beyonce there?
No. Why would she have been there?
Well, she's been going to basketball games. Her and Jay-Z.
Okay,
They were at Game 7 of Raptors or... No, they were at Game 6 of Warriors-Rockets.
Yeah. No, I didn't see them.
Did you see Gruber?
Did not see Groobs.
Mm.
Saw a lot of media celebrities like, you know, Smith and Wilbon and, you know, guys like that, but... You know, that was about it.
Oh, I wanted to congratulate you. You wore a tie last night.
I did wear a tie. Well, you have to congratulate me, but
I've never seen you in a tie.
But this is the Eastern Conference Finals, Bart. As we said, this is the conference finals, man. This is big stuff. So, yeah. I mean, it's not the kind of game you wear blue jeans to if you're a media member. It's the conference finals. So this is a time to get after it, man. And did some video last night, too. So
did Radio Joe wear a tie?
No. He had his,
Did he wear his blue fan pullover?
I think so. That's what he had. He had a t-shirt. No, he had not a t-shirt. He had the fan polo. I think he had working for him last night.
Oh, okay. All right. Shrek says it must have felt great for the Bucks to knock off that week-long rust and still get the W. Hopefully no mercy on Friday. Zach says Kyle Lowry will never go 7 from 9 again from 3 in his career. Steph Curry's not even good from 3. Was there a point in that game last night where you thought, okay, this one's slipping away on to game 2?
No. You know, even when they got down by 11 or 13 in the first half, it was like, you know, plenty of game. You know, and we've seen this happen before in the NBA. And we've seen this happen with the Bucks. You know, they come out slow. They come out slow. This regular season, too, Bart. We saw that. They get out to a slow start, eventually wake up, turn it around, and before you know it, a couple of elbow smashes, a leg drop, a body slam, and the three count, and it's over. Just like that.
What's the hook here for Toronto? I mean, what is Toronto, when they go home, what do they look at and say, let's do this better, we'll win the game? I mean, Kawhi could play better. Middleton was great on him in the fourth quarter, especially.
Yeah, I mean, your two guys, I mean, two guys play really, really well for you. You score over 30 points, and you still lost the game. And, you know, Giannis didn't play well. A few other guys didn't play well. And still, because, oh, you don't expect Lopez to have 29. Like, just like we don't expect Lowry to shoot like that. Certainly the Raptors aren't going to expect Splash Mountain to throw in another 29 points. But, you know, again, I think there's going to be a time or two in the series where Giannis imposes his will. You know, there's so many times in that game last night, Bart, where, boy, you know, that crowd was just ready to explode, and then the Bucks would miss a three. Just ready to take control of that game, and then he would miss a three, and then the air would come out of the place. That just never happened for the Bucks, and then they finally got it going in the fourth quarter.
Bucks ended up going to the free throw line 7 more times than Toronto, but I was not happy about that whistle last night. I thought there were some plays, especially on Giannis towards the end of the first half, where that could have been called. Brook Lopez, again, this guy, I don't know what he ever did to a whistle, but even if it's the lightest brush of air, brush of contact, he's getting called. And when he does get hit, he's not getting called. Yeah. Again, I don't know what he ever did to a whistle to make it and the whole whistle family hate this guy, but Lopez cannot get a call, it seems.
No. I feel like Splash Mountain could breathe on somebody, and he's going to get two fouls called against him.
I know.
Doesn't it? I mean, God, when he's around the basket, boom, he could block a shot cleanly, and they'll say, oh, got him with the body. It's like, what? What are they watching? And he can get totally hammered underneath, too. No call. What was the time was it the end of the third quarter where Giannis was in offensive rebound position toward the end of the quarter, and somebody, I think it might have been Siakam, just come barreling over him, no call to finish out the quarter. And it's like, what the hell?
I think that was the end of the half.
End of the half.
Siakam drained one at the end of the third.
Yeah.
That I thought might be a backbreaker, but it was not. Bucks 108, 100. Chuck and Winkler, the conversation we've been putting off for weeks. We've got to have it. Chris Middleton.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.